This episode of Dollars and Cents is brought to you by MCS, Oriental, AIG, RSM, and Amy Taylor Fernandez Voiceovers.
Puerto Rico Chamber of Commerce President Ramon Perez Blanco joins us today to share his impressions of 2023 and to address what's ahead while making a call to action to the private sector to take active leadership roles in 2024, which is a pivotal election year in Puerto Rico and the U.S. mainland. With us today is Ramon Perez Blanco, president of the Puerto Rico Chamber of Commerce, which is the island's largest business organization. We just want to do a quick review of 2023, perhaps the most significant events of the year for the business community in Puerto Rico. And after that, I want him to pull out his crystal ball and give us some predictions or his expectations for 2024. So, Mr. Perez Blanco, thank you so much for being with us. Let's get right down to it. What did you think of 2023?
I think 2023 was a very interesting year for Puerto Rico's economy and Puerto Rican business owners. As you know, Puerto Rico has been suffering through what some economists call a recession, but it's more of a depression since 2006, sort of sustained economic contraction. So the last 2 years, but it felt, you know, stronger in 2023. The economy of Puerto Rico has started showing indications of a strengthening economy. So we started seeing some indicators of better labor participation rate, lower unemployment rate. You hear the government increasing their tax collection. So the economy certainly has been moving better. Although we were operating under an inflationary environment, as you all know. I mean, the economy of the world was under inflationary pressures since last year. So I think 2023 is an overall good year for the economy of Puerto Rico, for the business sector in general, although we were facing headwinds with inflation pressure and other items. You know, the chamber does our index of the feeling of the private sector, and you see some of these mixed feelings when we survey the business community, and you sort of see the same challenges pop up every year. But even in a good year, you sort of see the same challenges pop up, at least in the mind of the private sector. You know,
and what were they for 2023?
Yeah, I mean, we continue to see the tax mm-hmm. rates in Puerto Rico. So the overall tax landscape of Puerto Rico, as you know, the top corporate tax rate in Puerto Rico is 37.5%, which is I think the highest corporate tax rate certainly in the U.S. I've heard it's the second highest in the world. We continue to carry the inventory tax, which we are one of the few jurisdictions that has that tax. So I think taxes is always top of mind of the private sector, particularly after the last several years. One that popped up this year and it was more significant for larger employers was labor shortage. So, you know, as Puerto Rico is in this reconstruction phase. So labor shortage, particularly for employers over 20 employees, was one of the top concerns. And then the ever-present government bureaucracy. I think that has always been top of mind of businesses, large and small, in Puerto Rico. But I think it's always revealing to see that for small businesses and for larger businesses, tax rate, energy, labor, and the government bureaucracy are always in the top of mind.
They have that in common, huh?
Yeah, they do. They do. Absolutely do.
So now, Speaking of the taxes, just right now in December, you see the government and the legislature and the oversight board trying to hammer out some sort of an agreement to ease the burden, at least on the middle working class. Do you think that's something that might be helpful or offer some sort of a trickle down to corporations?
Well, I think that's, I mean, it's always good. You're taking money out of the pocket of the government and giving it to the pocket of the taxpayers. That's always good. But unfortunately, the way it ended up being negotiated is sort of a one-time deal for the next year. So it's not a fundamental change either in the way of you know, the tax, the paperwork and all of that. And it's certainly not a rate reduction. It's just a one-time sort of credit. So I think the concept is good. It's almost like the government is giving a dividend to its citizens that fall within that tax bracket, saying, hey, we have money, you know, left, so we're going to give it back to you. I think the concept is great, something that I cannot be opposed to that. But in general, I think there's consensus from tax practitioners, from the government, I think from the private sector, that Puerto Rico needs structural tax reform, and we need to really rethink all the different tax elements that we have, you know, over the private sector. It's not only income taxes. Remember, we have one of the higher sales taxes in Puerto Rico. We have the inventory tax. We have you know, the customs taxes for vehicles. I mean, so the system in general. Unfortunately, the political process, you know, together with the responsibilities of the Fiscal Control Board, you know, I think it has impeded that structural reform it's carried out. We were part of the chamber, as well as other organizations, were part of the task force that worked with Fortaleza, with the governor's mansion, to propose this tax reform, which at the end of the day wasn't really a tax reform. It was an overall rate reduction and simplification of some of the procedural elements of our taxing.
You don't want to think that they're doing it because it's an election year, right?
It's absolutely because it's an election year. I think. Well, again, I mean, if you have the money and you want to give it an election year, that's fine. I would rather have Hacienda give it back to the taxpayer instead of keeping the money in the government coffers. So, but that out of the way, we need to insist, and the chamber will continue to insist, as a lot of commentators, that Puerto Rico needs structural reforms, and tax reform is one of those structural reforms. At the end of the day, Puerto Rican businesses, whether we like to accept it or not, compete with international business that operate in Puerto Rico or provide services, goods and services into Puerto Rico from other countries that are not subject to, you know, a 37.5% tax rate, or are not subject to an inventory tax.
What do you think would be a fair tax rate? You and the organization, of course.
No, I'm certainly not a tax expert. I am a
Have you been able to, you know, test the water? What would a consensus rate be?
Yeah, I think, you know, Puerto Rico is a federal jurisdiction, so we would need to find out where we can pair up with other U.S. jurisdictions. As you know, the federal, the top rate, corporate rate in the federal system is 20%.
Okay.
So we would need to probably at least to pair up, we would probably be around 20%, which is the federal, the top bracket for the IRS on the corporate side.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned kind of a mixed bag for 2023, some good, some bad. Is there anything in particular that stands out for you in terms of making it a different kind of year, if anything?
For 2023, I think that the fact that we need to, I think this is very relevant, and sometimes people do not necessarily understand the significance of the labor participation rate. I mean, we went from 39% to 44 and change, and that's a significant change that's continued to sounds like it's trending upward. That means that there's people that are joining the formal economy, that are paying taxes, that have a formal job, that hopefully are moving from sort of, you know, marginal levels of income to better levels of income. And I think that's something very significant. These people, you know, people that are working are people that are consumers, that go out, that dine out, that buy goods and services. So I think that's a very positive economic indicator for Puerto Rico. I mean, taken together with the low unemployment rate, it's great news. And as you know, Puerto Rico, for a long time, we've suffered from having a significant informal economy. The more people we get joining the formal economy and paying taxes and being part of the formal labor force, the better, I think, better our economic indicators are going to be. And you see it in the government, you know, tax collections on the income tax side. So I think that's very significant. I think that's one. The second one is we've seen more activity on the construction side, on the reconstruction side. So, so a lot of the bureaucratic I call it hurdles, things that have been taken care of, and things are flowing better. So I think that's very important too. You know, suffering, if we've got to something, or desperation because of the electrical grid and instability of the system. And I think the more of those funds starts rolling out, and the different contractors and vendors that start taking care of some of these infrastructure reconstruction needs, I think the better it is overall for everyone, for the private sector and for everyone. So I think that's something that 2023 sort of marked the difference as that type of project started ramping up.
And then for the Chamber of Commerce as an organization, can you talk about significant events in 2023?
I mean, 2023 was a very active year. I think we conducted several very successful education events. I mean, we do the índice of the business owners. We do the same for the consumer sentiment. And those are always very positive, where we measure how the consumer is feeling versus the business owners. It always catches my attention that business owners are always more optimistic about the economy, and consumers tend to be a little bit more cautious and more careful with their perception of the economy.
So, well, it's their pocket at the end of the day. So
exactly. So I think that was very. It's always very revealing. The business community sees the economy of Puerto Rico continue to get better. So
that's a good thing. And then I also heard that, or we actually reported it, 2023 marked the start of alliances between the Chamber of Commerce and other groups. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, what we're trying to do is, you know, Puerto Rico has a demographic challenge. And one of the things that we've identified that we can try to reach out to is the diaspora. Uh-huh. So, you know, we signed a collaboration agreement with the Latin American Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta, Georgia. And we, you know, so we're looking to do the same with a couple of other organizations in the mainland, which we already have signed agreements. We are right now in the process of carrying out a study to measure the diaspora. Mm-hmm. So we're surveying the Puerto Ricans that left the island in the last 10 years and the Puerto Ricans that have come back to the island in the last 5 years. So trying to identify what have been the drivers of those decisions, either moving to the U.S. or coming back to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to have some of those results in the first quarter of 2024.
Okay. And
once we get those results, we'll be reaching out to some of those diaspora members and hopefully educating the local government as to what are the drivers for that community.
What geographical areas are you working with? I know you said you signed the agreement in Atlanta, but what does that include?
Yeah, I think the region that their focus is on the east, you know, let's call it the east, southeast of the U.S. As you know, Puerto Rican diaspora is concentrated in the
Florida,
on
the Eastern Seaboard,
Pennsylvania, New York, the Northeast, New York, New Jersey. So I think this is the area that we're concentrated.
Okay, so that's in the works. And then let's you know, fast forward to 2024. What do you think is in the pipeline for not only for the private sector, but perhaps even the government, being an election year?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think 2024, the way it's projecting, I mean, we had this risk of recession and not only Puerto Rico, worldwide. So it's, you know, you heard the news last week that the Federal Reserve Bank sort of saying that it looks like we are going to have a soft landing, and that they're projecting starting to reduce rates next year. Now, whether that's driven by political motivations or not, I want to think that's driven by macroeconomic data. So what we're looking for in 2024 is a stable environment from an interest point of view, from an inflation point of view. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the U.S. economy and the world economy will not end up in a recession. Now, being an election year, we'll see how that impacts the government spending habits in Puerto Rico. As you know, in election years, local governments, municipalities, and try to get a lot of work done. So that usually happens in election year. So we'll see how that plays out, because we have to take into consideration that we have the fiscal control board, and the government cannot behave like they did in prior years. So we'll see how that plays out. But certainly, the news that the inflation seems to be right around 2%, 2.5%, and the Fed is starting to project rate reductions should be good overall for the economy. And our big challenges are any change in the government at the federal level, because of the amount of our budget that now is federal funds, is always a risk that we cannot ignore. I mean, we have to realize that any change in public policy from the federal government towards Puerto Rico could have a serious impact in the Puerto Rico budget. And the way politics are looking right now in the U.S. is everyone's guess as to what's going to happen with the presidential election. But that's something that we need to pay attention from the private sector in Puerto Rico. I mean, that's one of the things that the chamber has been doing, is we've been very active in D.C. with healthcare and app to snap. And the reason for that is, it's an important sector of our economy, both funding for healthcare and for food. So I think that's something that the private sector, we need to keep our eye on. We need to keep our presence in Washington, D.C., and try to keep a seat, in the discussions with things like the Farm Bill and that to snap. So it's going to be an interesting year from a political point of view. Both in the federal government and in Puerto Rico. Six, seven potential candidates right now going through primaries for governor. So it's going to be a very interesting first half of 2024.
Do you think, or have you, gained any insight as to whether the private sector will hold back or maybe be more conservative in 2024 in terms of investments or anything like that because it's an election year?
I don't think so. I mean, I have no way to measure that, but it's not what I perceive from the membership of the Chamber of Commerce and from other colleagues in the private sector. I perceive optimism. I perceive a positive outlook. Certainly the news from last week from the Federal Reserve reinforces that positive outlook. Certainly in construction, the outlook is very positive. In tourism in Puerto Rico, as the Puerto Rico tourism led growth and room nights and all that. So that's certainly another sector of the economy that's doing very well. Mm-hmm. So the consumer continues to behave strongly. So Puerto Rico being a consumer-based economy, the consumer continues to behave strongly. I mean, you saw it with the auto sales. I mean, at one point in the year, it looked that we were going to sell less cars this year, but that turned around. It looks like we're going to sell more cars than we did in 2022. So I think those indicators are positive for 2024.
If you had any words of advice for the business community that you lead, what would it be?
I think the business community in general, we need to be active. We need to be involved. I mean, the private sector in Puerto Rico has been shy from engaging on public policy items. We are always so focused on our businesses and creating jobs and growing and doing what we need to do, that sometimes we might be only looking at our sector or our particular business, and we're not called to look at the bigger picture. So my call to action to the private sector in general is we need to get involved actively in public policy issues that are not only for my business or for my sector, but are for Puerto Rico. I firmly believe that if the private sector does not assume a leadership role in talking about economic development and what are the issues that affect the business community of Puerto Rico, what are the barriers to grow? What are the barriers to be able to compete? How do we export more products? How do we export more services? If the private sector does not assume a leadership role in that discussion, at the end of the day, we're doing a disservice to private business. Remember, our economy went from being driven by foreign investment on the island, and that was our leading economic development tool, to having some of that left, but But we are, our economy that's more small, medium and small sized businesses that are competing without realizing it, that are competing oftentimes globally because of the internet and because of the Amazons of the world and because service providers can provide services in Puerto Rico from wherever they are in the world. So I think that's part of the discussion that we need to take over and to pay attention to and to help not only the chamber, but all of the other organizations that are sectorial, that service a particular sector of the economy. We need to be engaged as the business community. And that's something that should be setting up, right? Everyone says, no, that we have this problem and that problem and that problem. Let's work together. Let's support these organizations and let's get involved in the discussion and how do we tackle those issues.
But I think that the perception is that if I open my mouth, I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So there has to be a brave group of people out there to respond to your call to action, right?
Yeah, I agree. And that's the challenge. Puerto Rico it still is a small island and you end up knowing everyone eventually one way or the other. I think there are ways to talk about the issues and to discuss the issues from a professional, objective way. I mean, we just did last month, we did a forum, the chamber did a forum about the economic consequences of changing our political status. Now, that's something that the private sector had never touched because it has this political connotation, because it's subject to offending people or people looking at it the wrong way. But I must report that the forum was highly, very successful. And we received a lot of positive feedback from people that participated in the event, that everything was conducted at a very high level, very objective. We can have differences of opinion and differences as to how we can tackle one issue or the other. That doesn't mean that I'm going to stop being your friend. And I think that's something that we need to try to change, because the fact that I disagree with you doesn't mean that we cannot be friends and work together. And I think that's something that the private sector needs to recognize. As long as everything is done, professionally, objectively, for the right reasons, no one should be offended by that. Now, the politicians have other concerns, but at the end of the day, the data is the data, and the numbers are the numbers, right? And the issues they are what they are. So I think we can, the private sector can bring those up and can tackle those and give their opinion and their suggestions publicly, and sometimes challenge the perception of other stakeholders. And you can do it respectfully. At the end of the day, I don't think there are businesses that want to operate in an economic environment that's depressed, that
or unfriendly, right?
That's unfriendly. That's dysfunctional. Right. We all want to live and work in a place that we love being there. And I think at the end of the day, that's the driving force behind all of this and my call to action. I mean, my business is a 42-year-old company. I want to think that my business will be able to grow and thrive for the next 42 years, long after I'm retired. And I think that's something that if the private sector does not start getting involved, because we do have a more of a mid and long-term view of the decisions that we make versus the government, because of the political reality, they have to make decisions on 3-year cycles because of elections. So I think that should be one of the driving forces. When I'm talking about the private sector getting involved, that's precisely what I mean, providing continuity to some of the public policy items or decisions that need to be made. Economic development, for example. I mean, everyone talks about Puerto Rico needing an economic development plan. As long as the administration changes and the priorities of the incoming or outgoing administration are different, economic development plans are not going to have continuous support. That's why Puerto Rico is filled with, economic development studies and plans that go nowhere. So that's where I mean that the private sector needs to step in and needs to get involved and needs to get their word, their opinions heard.
Well, let's see what happens in 2024. It sounds like it's shaping up to be an interesting year. So I appreciate your time today. Certainly, it's been a really interesting chat. We could talk for hours because there's always a lot to be said about Puerto Rico, the private sector, the government, and all of that. So I hopefully we'll talk again in 2024. And I wish you a very happy new year, and to all of your membership as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation, and same to you. Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año Nuevo. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Take care.
This episode of Dollars and Cents was brought to you by MCS, Oriental, AIG, RSM, and Amy Taylor Fernandez VoiceOvers.